Well, if we base our judgment of whether a day is good or bad on feelings and emotions, then I would say that today has been a good day. And it's not that feelings and emotions are nothing, because they are something, but they are not the most important thing. The most important thing is the truth. And that's what we're going to turn to now in John chapter 8. The truth. Verse 31 in John chapter 8 says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If you continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It wouldn't be a bad thing if those verses that I just read continually rung in your mind and heart. Just continually. Continually. As we said last week, it's not enough to begin the race well. It's not enough to make a profession of faith in Christ, is it? If you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed? They answered Him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily," He doesn't back off. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abides ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill Me, because My word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with My Father, and you do that which you've seen with your father." They answered and said to Him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto Him, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill Me, a man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father." Then said they to Him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, you would love Me. For I proceeded forth and came from God." And by the way, in the Greek language, there is the implication here that Jesus is saying, "I'm here. I'm here." In other words, I have left eternity. I have left the glory that I had with the Father. And I come. That's really what He's getting across to these Jews. "Neither came I of Myself, but He sent Me." We just sang about that, didn't we? Isaiah 9:6. "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given," sent. "Why do you not understand My speech? Either because you cannot hear My word. Ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you will do." Or you will do. You will to do it. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Have you noticed the similarities that most often run in families? There's those obvious physical features, the eyes, the nose, where the hands are so familiar. They walk just alike. At the wedding yesterday, I saw someone approach Sarah's mother, Ruth, and as she was approaching, I said, "Boy, that sure looks like her sister." And it was. There was a resemblance. There was a family resemblance. But there are also the personality traits that seem to be passed in the gene pool. Have you noticed that? He's just like his dad, or she's just like her mom. You know, as we grow older, we look into the mirror and it says, "You have become your mother or father after all." You know, there's something there. Family traits, resemblances. Jesus is really dealing with that here, isn't he, in this passage? And he's contending with these Jews who were proud of their ancestry. And by the way, he had this in common with them. Both Jesus and the Jews would point to Abraham as their father. The New Testament begins, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1, referring to Jesus' father was Abraham. And these Jews were proud of that fact. After the flesh, they had a common heritage. And both also pointed to God as their father. Jesus, of course, did so. We know that. But these Jews did as well. We have one Father, verse 41, even God. And this becomes the huge point of contention that's played out in our text here. The Jews reject Jesus' claim. And Jesus exposes the truth about them. Jesus said unto them in verse 42, "If God were your Father, you would love me." And it's as if Jesus is saying, in fact, is it as if he pretty much bluntly says, "I know who your Father is, and it's not my Father." And then he proceeds to point out the resemblance between them and their Father. There are really only two spiritual heritages, which is really ultimately what matters in life and death. What ultimately matters when you breathe your last is not who your physical father was. And I suppose there's nothing fundamentally wrong with being proud of our heritage. But fundamentally, that is not what ultimately matters. There are two spiritual heritages, and that's what ultimately matters. Who is your father spiritually? And this is what Jesus means as he uses the term father in this context. He acknowledges their bloodline, of which they were proud. He says, I know your fathers. I know you descended from Abraham. I know that. By the way, that wasn't a bad thing. There were advantages to that, and the Bible talks about that. And if we happen to be born in a bloodline of Christian and spiritual heritage, that's a good thing, by the way. Children, if your parents are God's children, if they're believers and they're training you up in the ways of God, that's a good thing. It shouldn't be despised, and we promote that. But just because your heritage is Christian doesn't mean you're a Christian. And so Jesus denies the claim of these Jews to being children of Abraham, though they were of the seed of Abraham, after fleshly sort. They were not the children of Abraham. And so we know that Jesus is referring to a spiritual heritage. You see, Jesus was as much a Jew according to the flesh as any of these. But He refers to God as His Father on a very different basis from these Jews with whom He's interacting here. In verse 38, He says, I speak that which I have seen with my Father. Verse 40. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Verse 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Verse 47, He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not. That's interesting. He that is of God hears God's words. Ye therefore hear them not. Whose words were they hearing? Because ye are not of God. Verse 55, yet ye have not known Him, but I know Him. And if I should say, I know Him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know Him and keep His saying. Jesus is not claiming His relationship based upon genealogical or religious heritage, but upon personal interaction which preceded His time on earth. He's talking about that which was before He was born. In fact, He says that He is the Son in verse 36. He is the truth of which He is speaking to these Jews about. He not only speaks the truth, He is the truth, the very Word of God. But notice what He says of Himself in verse 40. But now ye seek to kill me, a man. A man that hath told you the truth. And isn't this identifying to us who Jesus really is? And we understand, and we're not belaboring this thought this morning, but He is fully God. And He has a relationship with God as His Father like no other. He is uniquely the Son of God, uniquely begotten of God. There is that eternal generation. He proceeded from the Father. It's an eternal relationship that the Father and the Son enjoy. But He's also a man, isn't He? As He came into this world, came, robed in flesh, took upon Himself our nature as a man. And as a man who is God, He spoke the truth. He could do nothing else because He is truth. Fundamentally, that's who He is. And get that, because that's the clash in this text. The one who could only speak the truth and those who couldn't speak the truth at all because of their Father. He completely honors the Father. And He's honored by the Father. He says this in verse 49. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. He's made this point back in chapter 5 as well. Let's go back there quickly to chapter 5 and verse 22. I could read a number of verses. He's already made these points. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Do you see how Jesus is talking? If He were not equal with God, which is what He is saying, if He were not equal with God, this would be blasphemy from the lips of this man. The Father honors Him as He honors the Father. There is a unique, distinguishing relationship so that As the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He didn't have to snatch that claim out of nowhere. He didn't have to make that up. He was claiming what was a reality. He didn't have to build himself up to that. He was simply expressing what was fundamentally true. Equal with the Father. So back in John chapter 8, Jesus is saying, unless the Son makes you free, unless I make you free, you are yet under the captivating influence and dominion of a Father who is not God. Though you think He is, and though you say He is, that is not your Father. You know, it was when these Jews who had, it says, believed on Jesus to some degree. Back in verse 30, as He spake these words, many believed on Him. Verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him. So He's speaking to those who had some confession of faith, some indication that they believed on Him. And it was when these Jews reacted harshly to specific truth which Jesus taught, it was then that He began to carefully expose their true spiritual heritage. A true believer comes to Jesus from a place of bondage, needing to be rescued. Listen to me, if you are a true believer here today, you know something about the bondage from which you have been delivered. You know something about the exclusivity of Jesus Christ in relationship to that freedom. You know that only He can free you from that fundamental bondage that holds you. You understand at some level that the law of God is against you. Now, I'm not saying you understand it like the great theologians who have written about it. I'm not saying you understand it even as deeply as you may hear it proclaimed here from this pulpit. But as you sit here today and you hear my words and you hear the words of Jesus, you do connect at some level. You know something about the sting of the law. You know something about that. The law of God is against you and will condemn you. And you have an understanding of that. You have an understanding at some level that sin is your master, which you cannot overcome. You cannot do it on your own. And that death, including eternal separation from the love of God in hell, has unconquerable power over you. You understand these things to some degree. So that when you hear Jesus say, if you continue in my word, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And you hear Him say, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. There is something in you that at least at some level rejoices in that truth. You don't respond as these Jews and say, wait just a minute here. I was never in bondage to anything or anybody. I could do anything I wanted whenever I wanted. I wasn't in captivity to anything. What's the big deal? I believe in Jesus, but I'm not really that bad. I don't really need Him that much. And fundamentally, that's what I'm hearing these Jews say to Jesus. Ultimately, we're okay without You. We don't need You. And so as these Jews persist in their resistance, rejecting Jesus as the truth, the exclusive truth, they have a desire to kill Him because of the things they're saying to Him. And I'm afraid there's some folks today who would love to kill preachers who say what Jesus says. They want to shut us up. And so Jesus ultimately lowers the boom and bluntly identifies their father or their spiritual heritage by pointing to the family resemblance in verse 44 when he says, and oh, what piercing words. And I've tried to imagine a little bit what it would be like to hear Jesus say these things to me. You are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Who is their father? And really here Jesus is identifying the father of all who resist the truth in him. If you're here today and you're sitting in with a sense of resistance to what you're hearing coming from the very Word of God, coming from the very lips of Jesus Himself. If you have a red letter edition, there's a lot of red here. If you feel yourself resisting, that's not a good sign. The devil. Who is the devil? The word is translated slanderer. The word is translated false accuser. I want to read Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. I think a verse which helps us in identifying the devil. Who is he? Revelation 12 and verse 9. And the great dragon was cast out. Listen to me, all of you who are tuned in to those who make light of the devil, all of you are tuned in today to those who mock the concept, the reality of the devil. Listen to the Word of God. This is no joke. This is nothing to play around with. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. He's got a formidable army. And he's doing business in this world. Is the devil real? If you say today that the devil is not real, then you might as well shut your Bible, never open it again. You just ought not even visit a church that's speaking the truth again, because you simply have to deny that Jesus is real or that Jesus is telling the truth. Because Jesus tells us, ye are of your father, the devil. He is identifying the reality of this person called Satan, this being called the devil. He is not a mythical concept. He's real. Jesus is truth. And so everything that he is saying is true. Jesus even confirms the Genesis account of Satan and the source of sin's entrance into the world. How did it all begin? Where did it all come from? Jesus says he was a murderer from the beginning. And so we go back to the beginning. And what do we read? In Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 2. It was by way of lying that he carried out his homicidal intentions in relationship to the creation of God. In Genesis 2, 16 and 17, God said, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die, or dying thou shalt die. A death sentence was pronounced upon our first father, Adam, for transgressing the law of God. You transgress the law of God, there's a death sentence that awaits you. Verse 1 of chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, that old serpent called the devil, which the Lord God made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Do you hear the subtlety here? He's a liar, the father of lies. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, my goal isn't to unfold everything that's being said here in the Genesis account. My goal is to show you what Jesus is referring to. And the serpent said unto the woman, verse 4, ye shall not surely die. What did God say? You shall surely die. What did the serpent say? You shall not die. And so death entered the world, didn't it? And Paul teaches us in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it was by one man that sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. It all began back there in the beginning. And this father of it all, Jesus is identifying the father of it all, where it originated. And then in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, the apostle tells us that Jesus took part of our nature in order to destroy the devil who had the power of death. A murderer from the beginning. A murderer. A liar. A murderer. Listen, the devil is real. He is subtle, slandering, and seeks the destruction of life. We heard that in the first hour. And he takes advantage of every way, every means, in order to reach us, in order to attack us. He'll do all within his power to discount, discredit, disguise, distract sinners from the Savior. He is the ultimate deceiver. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And verse 3, the apostle writes, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. He is the ultimate deceiver. Listen, he has no problem with you believing in Jesus so long as you do not see and acknowledge that you are bound by sin and that Jesus alone can free you. As long as you don't see that your righteousness is found in Jesus alone, he has no problem with you believing in Jesus. So long as you add things to your believing, as long as you say, well, I believe, but I also have to, and fill in the blank with whatever that might be. So we have, believing is not the issue. You see in our text, these opposers, these who are of the Father, their father, the devil, they didn't get riled up until Jesus was pressing this point. Jesus, solo Christo. Jesus Christ alone. And Satan hates that. And he's a deceiver. And he'll do what he can do and use every means available to him to stir the pot, to bring confusion to the gospel. He has no problem with you believing in Jesus so long as you don't see and believe that the Son can really make you free. Satan wants to keep you under a sense of guilt. Satan wants to keep you in a place of bondage. And that's why when people come to me, and oftentimes and they're looking for some deliverance in their life from some sin that they're in bondage to. And oftentimes, and I've seen this over the years, and they want a program, that they want a system, they want something. Give me something. Give me a chart. Give me something. How can I get over this thing? Tell me what to do. And I'm not discounting that there are things to do. But there's only one way to get free. And that's through Jesus Christ alone. Alone. And so Satan has no problem putting into your mind through preachers of various sorts that you're still under condemnation. You need to do better to get out from under condemnation. Jesus can't really take away that sin. Jesus can't really wash that past. He can't really do that. You've got to wash it. You've got to change it. Some of you know about the misery that leads you to, don't you? But ultimately, it's not about you. It's about the glory of God. It's about dishonoring the Son by attempting some other way. But Satan has no problem with preachers. Did you know that Satan has no problem simply with preachers? In fact, he's got some himself. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11 verses 13 through 15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. It's not easy to distinguish. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Men who sound good, but men who are self-serving, and men who are distracting from the focus, men who are taking away from the simplicity of Christ. And you know, it's very easy for me to stand in this pulpit and say, and you know, load my cannons and fire my guns at all the preachers out there that are the devil's preachers. But I have to look at my own heart. I have to examine my own motives. I have to look at the message that I'm proclaiming. And is it really the message that's consistent with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is it really the message that's consistent with the gospel of grace? Is it really the words of truth? Am I really leading people to the Son so that the Son can make them free? Or do I think that I have the power to lead you to freedom? If you just come to me for counseling, I've got a program that'll work for you. And so in my years of ministry, I've seen some people, when I keep bringing them back to Christ, I can sense the frustration. You know, give me a list, preacher. Is there a list that you can give me? There's a list that's already been given. No. But even that, the Jews that Jesus was dealing with here had the list. And they were still in bondage. The list won't set you free. Are you hearing me? Seminars won't set you free. Increasing your Bible memorization won't set you free. Do you think these Jews to whom Jesus was talking, do you think they didn't have some of this book memorized? I'm told that they had more of it memorized than you and I do. Do you understand what's going on? Satan is going to do whatever he can to blind you and keep you in darkness, the darkness of unbelief, separating you from Jesus Christ so that you cannot see Him. And that's the issue. Paul understood that. The Apostle Paul was taught of Christ, the truth. And so he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, "But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world," that's who he's talking about here, the devil, "the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Do you hear what the issue is? You know what Jesus is doing? You know what Paul is doing? You know what the Scriptures are doing? Taking the power away from you. Taking the ability right out of your hand. Taking the strength that you think you have, and he's neutralizing that and saying, you need what you don't have and only Christ can give you. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But Satan doesn't want you to think that you are powerless. Satan wants you to think that you are powerful, that you can do it. He is intent upon blinding you and keeping you in the darkness of unbelief, separated from Christ. He is intent upon twisting God's Word and casting doubt upon truth. There is no truth in Him, Jesus said. He is the father of lies, Jesus said. It's His very nature. He cannot be trusted. Whatever Jesus says, whatever God says, the devil will say the opposite. Or he'll so shade the truth so as to sound like truth, but it's really a lie. And so he won't totally dismiss the name of Jesus, and he won't totally dismiss the Word of God. He'll even quote the Word of God to you, but quote it way different than it was intended. We learn that from the temptations of Jesus, don't we? He'll lead you to think you need something you don't need. What's the answer to Satan's lies? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Believe Jesus. Believe every word and follow Him. Listen, you need to be aware of Satan. You need to be aware of the devil. He is seeking to devour you. He is homicidal. And if you don't think that he's dangerous, he has the upper hand on you. He is as a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour, Peter says. He's real. Jesus says to those who contend with Jesus, and see, that's the problem. Contending with Jesus. If you're contending with Jesus, you don't see the truth of what Jesus is saying, and you're contending with the truth that Jesus is proclaiming, you are of your father, the devil. You're resembling, your likeness is like unto him. What is the resemblance? I want you to see verse 44, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." You will to do it. Their resistance to Jesus was coming from within themselves. They were not robotic. They were not automatons. It was their will that was being exercised. You see that? "And the lust of your father ye will do," or "you will to do." It's the same Greek construction as back in chapter 7 and verse 17, where we read, "If Jesus says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. If any man will do his will," if any man wills or desires to do his will, it's the same thing here. "You're of your father the devil, the lust of your father You desire it. You want it. That's your will. That's what's inside of you. You're in bondage to the corruption of your own will. Like their father, Jesus says to these Jews, they were liars. There was no truth in them. He says in verse 37, "My word has no place in you." They seemed impressed to believe until He pressed the truth, until He said, "My word," until He said, "The Son shall make you free," as I've already emphasized, the exclusivity of Jesus Himself. And then they rose up against Him. Their very nature was such that they could not hear the truth. Verse 43, "Why do you not understand My speech? Even because you cannot hear My word." Their very nature was such that when truth was spoken, they naturally resisted. Verse 45. And it's interesting the way it's worded. He says, "And because I tell you the truth, you believe Me not." Why didn't they believe? Jesus says, "It's because I tell you." That's interesting. I mean, if somebody's telling you the truth, you would think you would believe. But if you are fundamentally flawed, if your will is fundamentally flawed, if there is corruption to the very bone, as there is in everyone who is like these Jews, unbelievers, separated from God, not of God, then when truth comes your way, you will not believe it. You will not be drawn to it. "Because I tell you the truth, you believe Me not." It's as if Jesus is saying, had I not said any more than what I had already said, you might have continued to believe. But because I'm pressing the truth, I'm saying more, I'm giving you more, I'm unveiling the truth to you, and because I do that, you don't believe Me. There's lots of folks today who are just like that. And there's lots of preachers who will go so far but will go no further. And lots of preachers who don't want to offend folks and don't want to bother folks. But if that is the attitude of a preacher, they're like the devil. Because that's what the devil does. A deceiver, a liar. And will not press the truth. So their very nature was such that when truth was spoken, they recoiled. Jesus said, "Ye shall die in your sins," right? He said that in chapter 8, three times. He said, "Ye shall die in your sins." What did they say? "We are in bondage to no man. God is our Father." Liars. Deceived. Jesus said, "I am." They say, what do they say about Jesus? "You're a Samaritan," verse 48. "You have a devil." That's interesting. Jesus says, "You're of your father, the devil." They say, "No, we're not. You're a devil." Talk about, my wife and I have this thing we call boomerang. You know? And that's the best they could do. And by the way, when you're feeling yourself being defeated, let's just say this. When you start character assassination, you've lost the cause. And that's what's going on here. They know they're up against somebody they can't compete with here. But they stand their ground because fundamentally there's a problem. Like their father, they are liars. Verse 55. "Yet ye have not known Him, but I know Him. And if I should say, I know Him not, I shall be a liar like unto you." First John chapter 2, verse 22. And we saw last week, there's a number of comparisons between what we're reading here in this text and First John. But chapter 2, verse 22, "Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ?" So they're like their father in that they are liars, deceived and deceivers. And they're like their father in that they are murderers. The lusts of your father he will to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. And what is it that these Jews wanted to do? They wanted to kill Jesus twice in this passage that's stated. One who was exposing their need, they wanted to shut him up. They wanted to shut the truth teller up. They wanted to kill him. By their teaching, they perpetuated the spiritual death of a nation, the nation of Israel. They were not like their genealogical father Abraham, who believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. They sought to obtain their own righteousness by their own works, the works of the law. And brethren, that equals death. That equals condemnation. And any preacher stands and preaches that kind of thing is like their father, the devil, a murderer from the beginning. Religious leaders and followers who promote themselves and their systems as the way to God and do not see and believe that Jesus Christ is the exclusive truth, the exclusive way to freedom, are under the deception of the father of lies and carry on this family resemblance to the destruction of their souls and those who follow. Frankly, I'm not first and foremost interested in what denominational group you belong to. Frankly, I'm not really interested in what study Bible you carry, whose name happens to be on it. I personally think that's a mistake to put your name on a study Bible, but folks do it. Frankly, I don't care how many people are following Kyle White. How many people we attract here at Community Baptist Church to what we got going on here. Do you see where I'm going with this? We can't make you free. I can't make you free. The fundamental problem with folks, the fundamental problem identified by Jesus with these to whom he is speaking here, with whom he is speaking here, is that they were not of God. That's the fundamental problem, not being of God. Look at verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. And that's what I want to know about you. Are you of God? What is it to be of God? It's really the language of John is, it's the born-again language. It's being born again of God. Are you born? Do you have the life of God in your soul? And if you do, then Jesus Christ is really everything to you. I know that's a big statement. We'd need to maybe take time to flesh that out, but I don't have time for that. But he's more important to you than anything else. And when other things begin to take a greater importance in your life, you're struck in your heart by that. You're ultimately mortified by that. You're fearful of that. When you start turning to the pornography and you can't break yourself free from it, and that tells me that Jesus is somewhere. You've lost. You don't know where is he. You see, when you start giving in to those uprisings of anger, or when you start envying, let's talk about things that nobody can see except you, or maybe they can see it because it's been there so long and it's worked itself out in relationships. How do you overcome that? You need to be of God. You need to be born again. And if you're born again, you're able to see. Your eyes are open. You're able to hear. You see? God must intervene. You must be taught of Him. And if you are taught of Him, your life changes. Let me ask you, what is your spiritual heritage? How do you respond to the words? Jesus asks a question here. Verse 45, he says, because I tell you the truth, verse 46, which of you convinceth me of sin? Now, we could preach a whole message there on the sinless nature of Christ, but which of you convinceth me of sin? Does anybody here ask yourself the question, do you see anything wrong with Jesus? Is Jesus a liar? Is there reason not to believe him? Then look at the second question. And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? How do you answer Jesus' question? If you find yourself today inclined to minimize Jesus, to question his claims, to keep your distance, or to reject the record that God has given of his son, you say, well, preacher, folks are here. Surely they don't do that. Some people are made to be here because they're still in a family where their parents make them come, right? And some are here for other whatever reasons. But you call the message into question. You call Jesus into question. And when you do that, you're revealing your family connection. How do you answer Jesus' question? Why do you not believe me? Can you stand the thought? Listen to me. Can any of you here today, can you stand the thought? Can you deal with the thought that you are of your father, the devil? Can you even stand the thought of that possibility? But the reality is, if you don't believe Jesus, in the sense that Jesus is saying, continue in my word, you know the truth, will make you free, then the devil is your father. I hope today that you're able to say to Jesus, you are the sinless Son of God. I do believe you. I do believe you. Do you have that sense in your soul right now? Is it at all there? Well, I do believe you, Jesus. I do believe you. And I want to be delivered from every resemblance that I have or that I have ever had to the devil. He's not my father. Your father is my father. And your father is my father because I believe you. I'm trusting you. I'm in you. And can you sense within your soul, your spirit saying, set me free? Some of you are not experiencing the freedom that you should be experiencing. Whether it be from the practice of sin or whether it be the sense of the guilt of your sin, don't you know you're just as much smacking Christ in the face by laboring under the guilt of sin that's been forgiven as you are practicing sin? Either one, you're offending. You're not honoring the Son, you're offending the Son. Set me free. Keep me free, Mark. Keep me free, right? I want to follow you. Am I echoing your thoughts right now? I want to follow you. And if you're sitting here thinking, well, preacher, I'm not interested. It's almost 12:30 and I'm hungry. Could you just shut up and get it over with here? I'm not drawn to this. This isn't, I don't mind being religious. But can you work on the length of that message? And, can you? Now, I'm not trying to defend long preaching here, but I don't really have a problem. You're sitting there thinking, I don't really need a Savior. Okay, you say, I need Jesus, fine, I believe in Jesus, and I'm going to get on with my life. I'm telling you, if that's your attitude here today, I'm very much fearful for your soul. I believe you will probably die in your sins. I know that's a harsh statement, but I think you ought to be concerned about that. And by the way, those are Jesus' words. If you don't have a relationship with Him, you will die in your sins. And at the judgment, you will come face to face with the truth. The truth. The truth. And you're going to have to answer to Him. The Father says, I've given all judgment to the Son. You ought to answer Him. But if you're sitting here today and you're thinking, preacher, I am in bondage. In fact, I'm struggling to even connect with anything you're saying. In fact, some of the things you've said sting, and I don't even like to talk about the devil. In fact, I think I'd be more comfortable in one of those churches where we go away feeling good every Sunday. I'm not interested in all this. If that's the message of Jesus, I need to hear a different message. But you've been struck in the depths of your soul that has been who you are. And you see, I bear the likeness of the devil. Maybe you're one who's given lip service to believing. But you see this today that you haven't really believed. Maybe you're asking the question, how do I get delivered? How do I experience what I sense that others experience? How do I get to that point of freedom? The answer is not complicated. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And when He makes you free, there's going to be a family resemblance. No longer will you be under the bondage of the law. No longer will you be a slave to sin. No longer will you be in fear of death. We're going to see that next week, Lord willing. Jesus says, He shall never see death. But you will be free to live. Free to live. Free to live to the glory of God and all that means. That's what this book is about. Can't cover all that in one message. Do you know that freedom? Dear Heavenly Father, words have been spoken. Your Spirit has been poured out in this age, and we're trusting that Your Spirit will work here today in this place. For some who need to be born again, there's some who need to experience more fully and more really the life, the light of life. There are some who have been deceived by some lies of the devil. Oh God, spare us. Thank You for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in Your children, that when we hear the truth, our souls are stirred. And we do connect, not simply with the logical progression of thought, but with the person, the reality of Him who came from heaven, gave His life, is risen again, and intercedes for us now. We want to follow You, Lord Jesus. Bless your word today. In Jesus' name I pray.